Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Guide us, O Lord, we beseech you, that in all the trials and tribulations of this thing called life, we ask that you keep us strong, steadfast, and dedicated to staying on the path of doing right. All this we ask in the person of the Lord to say is right. Amen. I don't have anything to say that it's easier sometimes to start something than to finish it. Sometimes it's easier to say that you're going to start something than to actually start it, but that's something for another time. Trust me there. I have a lot of that under my belt. I have a ton of projects at my house that I've already envisioned what they'd be like if they were completed. But getting started on them is another thing. And then there's the ones that I did start, and they got distracted and was never able to get back to finishing them. Now, how many of y'all go through the same thing in your lives? See, there you go. I'm not going to tell anybody. We're going to keep that a secret. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu said, "The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." We've all heard that, right? But we all know how hard it is to get that first step started to begin with. And then, on top of that, to keep moving once you get that step started. The oppositions, the distractions, the confusion of priorities. What's actually important versus what can actually wait. These are the things that we go through in life. The topic of my sermon for you today is called Stay the Course. And it's based on the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, but specifically Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now, I'm going to read those verses so you can get a context of what the sermon is about. There's a lot more, but I'm going to, you know, wrap it up in a tidbit so y'all don't have to go through reading it. Even though it's actually good reading because it's almost as in plain language. Considering this King James Version, it is surprising enough in plain language, mostly. So let me read it for you. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there were no breach left therein, though at the time I had not yet set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, 'Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono.' But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you?' Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." A great work. That's what I said, right? I've always been taught that anything that is done in God's name is a great work, and it should take precedence over everything else. That was the kind of work that Nehemiah was doing. God gave him the task of reestablishing the Jewish people. He was told to rebuild a wall around Jerusalem in order to protect the people. They were not only his people, they were God's people. The enemy saw that the only way to stop it from being finished, because it was so close to being completed, was that they would lure him out of the city, take him to the country, and then kill him. But Nehemiah wasn't going to be distracted because he knew what they were planning. He wasn't new to this game. I want you to know that when you make God first and foremost in your life, in your family, in your relationships, in your work, in your finances, and all the things that you need direction in, I want you to know that there will always be opposition attempting to distract you, to keep you from getting it done. People and things who have no other purpose but to distract you and take your attention away from God's direction. From the very start of the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 1, Nehemiah faced opposition. In this chapter, when the opposition saw that their plan to lure him away in order to kill him wasn't working, they tried to spread rumors about him. They told him that they had heard that him and his people were about to revolt against the Persians. But Nehemiah called their bluff. He was working on something, and he wasn't about to get distracted. He wasn't about to get pulled away from it. When that didn't work, they sent spies into the city. They converted some people to traitors in order to stop him. And that didn't work because he had a job. He was going to work on that wall because God told him to. He was going to build that wall or rebuild it in order to make that city impregnable. And at the end of the chapter, the great work that Nehemiah had been given by God was done. It took him 56 days to build that wall. Now that's what I'm talking about. A job that was started, that was completed. Even with the distractions that went, he was still on course. He stayed on course. When you stay on course, it means that you follow God in spite of your emotions or any obstacles that are in your way. You can't allow others to control the directions of your life. You have to get to a point in your life where your mood doesn't shift based upon the actions of other people and their opinions. Don't allow your emotions to overpower your intelligence. And especially, don't allow Facebook, Instagram, and the gossip on the wind to distract you and keep you from doing what you're supposed to do. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 tells us that we have to stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now tell me if that scripture doesn't fit the situation at hand and the situation in our lives today. You see, jealousy, greed, fear, and ignorance are the main reason why you will continue to have problems in your life. And they will be something that you'll have to face everywhere and all of the time. The sad part is that it won't get easier during the course of any of our lives. Everyone has their own path in life, and they have to find it on their own with the help of God. No matter what we know or what we think we know, only God really and truly knows what the plan is that he has for us. Amen? We may not be mentally or spiritually ready to understand what those plans are until the time comes, and then all of a sudden, there's a clarity and it becomes clear to us. You might have also noticed that Nehemiah's enemies didn't mess with him only once and then give up. No. In that bit of scripture, they came back to him four more times, a total of five times. See, that's the problem with the devil and his minions. But maybe it's an admirable trait. I mean, being persistent at what you've been tasked to do, what you've been told to do, is usually a good thing. I mean, isn't it? Of course, their motivation, their intention behind it was wrong from the start, but they were dedicated. Even when the work was almost done, the enemies continued to try to stop him from completing it. All he had to do was hang the doors. And they still were going at him. They were that dedicated, and so are some of the people that are in our lives today. Now imagine if we were as dedicated and persistent in the tasks that come across our desks, our tables. We'd be unstoppable. We'd be a force to be reckoned with. But that's also a trick of the devil. He sends things across your path in the form of opposition and temptations. Things and people that have nothing else to do but distract us from the task that God wants us to complete. Let me give you another example in my life. I've been wanting to put some things in the shed in my backyard for some time now. We're talking about crates of toys and clothing and stuff like that. Just so that we have more space in our house. The whole summer last year was right on my doorstep. And because the weather was so nice, I put it off with the most common phrases that we all know. What do y'all think they were? Exactly. I have time. It's still early. It's not that much to do. I can do it later. Or better yet, it's so nice today. I want to take the kids to the park. I want them to ride their hoverboard. I'll do it tomorrow. How many of us go through that on a regular? Now, the weather is cold. It's rainy. There's threats of snow. And it gets dark before I get home. I'm not even going to bring up how the weekend is too short after a long work week. How many of y'all get distracted by those same things? I'm not special like that. I'm quite sure half of y'all, except for them, go through that. This ain't the first time that I've done that. And as God is my witness, it probably won't be the last. Sometimes, I want you to know, sometimes it's not always the other people that are afraid of us, but it's us who's afraid. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid of being rejected. Sometimes the fear is so paralyzing that it just stops us from doing what we were meant to do, what God wants us to do. It's us who are afraid what other people will be saying about us if we don't follow the status quo. If we don't do what everybody else is doing. I mean, after all, if everybody else is doing it, then it must be right, right? I'm going to say, no. We're not lemmings. One find it right to jump off a cliff, it doesn't mean that we should. Speaking of the status quo, we're told in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is done through prayer and dedication and can't be forced on you. You have to make up your mind that it's something that you want to do, and you have to be the one to take that first step. When that distraction comes at us, unless it's a major thing, such as a life or death situation, a close relative, our parent, our child is sick, then if it's not a case like that, you know, our finances, we're about to lose our job, barring those things, then we have to act like those things don't exist. Those distractions aren't there. Like we're wearing blinders like a horse, plodding through the field, plodding through the street. And keep on keeping on with the things that we're working on. When you put your trust in God to support you, He will. Because my God is a mighty God. He will support you. But, not always how you expect Him to. While you're expecting the oceans to part like the Red Sea in order to direct you, it'll be that little bee that comes out of nowhere and turns you. When you expect a burning bush or a booming voice to come and say, do this, it'll be that gentle whisper on the wind in your ear that does it. We're told in James 1:12 that blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Amen? We want to believe that the devil is nothing compared to God and his will. And that's true. But the devil and his devices are still substantially stronger than we are. And we have to keep that in mind when we're fighting with his advances. I was told that whether I believe in the devil or not, which I do, don't get me wrong, you don't lose respect. You have a healthy respect for that which you don't have, can't fathom, can't wrap your brains around, can't deal with. The devil has been here longer than all of us and will continue to be here. Our life is finite. During that time, we have to do what's right. We have to stay the course. We have this thing called free will. And unfortunately, it gives us many opportunities to go down the wrong path. We lose track of the mission at hand. And that's where the issues, the distractions, the obstacles come into play. See, I'm warning you, my brothers and sisters, to not be afraid when the times are rough and the road seems like it's winding out of control. When the people that you thought that were your friends are trying to do everything in their power to lead you astray. Not everyone that you think is your friend is your friend. And not everyone that you think is your enemy is your what? Exactly, your enemy. When you put your heart, mind, and soul into trusting God, you will always be in a better position. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us to what? To trust in the Lord with all of our heart and do not lean on our what? Our own understanding. Don't be afraid. Y'all know it. This has been around longer than me, the Bible. Y'all heard it. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. They're crooked, he will tell you which way to go. In the course of your life, you will have to accept the fact that you will have to deal with trials and tribulations in the form of disappointments, hostilities, and definitely temptations. Just know that through all of it, you have to stand firm in what you're doing, especially when you attempt to do what you believe God wants you to do. My brothers and sisters, no matter how you feel in the morning, like I said, barring sickness, you have to get up, get dressed, and get your mind in the game. In order to do what needs done, and never, ever go. Say the words, no matter what distractions may arise, and you will always be able to magnify that which God has called you to do. Amen. I can't hear y'all. See, I told you, it's not a monologue. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.